I hope that you've enjoyed going through Ephesians as much as I've enjoyed getting it ready and sharing it with you. And I've learned so much from your feedback. Some of our discussions have prompted me to pray and do more research. Ephesians is a wonderful book, and it's a book that allows us to get a bird's eye view of what God sees us as a church. Yes. How many know? God has fully equipped us for victory. Amen. Three people said amen. Amen. How many know God has fully equipped us for victory? Amen. And whether or not we walk in that victory is up to us. That's up to us. It's there. It's there for us to use. It's like anything else, you know. The worst thing when I was in my 20s, the worst thing you could buy me was an electric shaver because I didn't use it. It was there for me, but my hair was down in the middle of my back and my beard was down here and I didn't care about shaving, and so the shaver was useless. Something that God has given us that is available for all of us in spite of our education, our standing in society, whatever it is, God has given us as children everything we need for victory. How many know you learn things in the presence of God that no book could ever teach you? Amen. That no book could ever teach you. So this morning we're in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. And I'm forgetting something. What am I forgetting? Talk amongst yourself while I... Oh, that's what I forgot. Everybody lift your Bibles up. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I've got to get my notes again. Okay. Did I do that right? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. This morning, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Father, we ask that you grip our hearts this morning, Lord, that we set aside all the things that will happen afterward, all the good food and fellowship and all of that, Father, and that we would focus on your intent for us as a church and for us as your children and as believers. Father, we thank you for opening our mind, our eyes, and our ears to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul starts out this passage with saying that he was the least of all the saints. Now, he wasn't being precocious. He wasn't being verbose. He wasn't being braggadocious. He was just simply acknowledging the fact that he was a servant of everybody he knew. Humility is something that all of us are supposed to walk in. The scripture says that God gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. So Paul begins his passage by this simple statement, I'm the least of all the saints, but God has given me to preach among the Gentiles this unsearchable riches of Christ that he has. I think that it's an element that's missing in the body of Christ today. We have information overload, and people think just because they have information, they are something. How many know all the information in the world doesn't change our character? We've proven that as a nation. We're one of the most out of shape, overweight nations in the world. We ought to know better, but we still do it. Come on, somebody. It's quiet in here. See, all the information in the world doesn't make anything. And now with all the social media, people are posting things that they supposedly came up with. Plagiarism is running amok. Somebody spends hours and hours in front of God and gets a truth, and it's rehashed every post as if it was an original. The age of information has made us more heady. All that we have is because of Christ, and that's all. There's nobody that can brag. Everything that we have is because Jesus allowed us to have it. So Paul begins with this statement, and then he says that I've been sent to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches. And this gives us a view that there's no limit in God. Any limitations that we put in God is humanizing God. When we say God doesn't care, when we say God isn't there, when we say God can't, we humanize God and deify man. There is nothing impossible with God. There's no thought that you can have. There's no problem that you can face. There's no question that you have that God doesn't have the answer to, won't get you through, and pour out His wisdom upon you. This is the God we serve. We serve a limitless God when it comes to His wisdom and His stature. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? God is not in the habit of making statements that draw attention to Him for the sake of attention. God is not in the habit because He has no need to be prideful. He has no need to say, look at me, I'm God. Because He's God. There's nobody above Him, and there's nobody equal to Him. Come on, somebody. So when we read His Word, we need to read it from that vantage point. When God says something, He means it's going to happen. Or it has so much of the Word of God, it's already happened. The battle that you're going through, if you're going through a battle now, it's already won. The struggle that you're going through right now, it's already won. It's not going to be won, it's already won. Come on, somebody. Well, you say, well, it doesn't feel like much like that to me, but God said that the battle is His. His provision is always more than enough. I want to know, can you ascertain His provision to and through you? No, you can't. There's no limit to it. There's no limit to His involvement. And if He's involved, He cares. And if He cares, He'll deliver. And if He delivers, He'll deliver completely. Come on, someone. This is not a limited God. This is not somebody that's trying to reach and grasp for straws and help you through whatever struggle you're going through, or bless you, or heal you, or touch you. He does all of that well because He's God. He had you in His mind before the world began. Either that or we negate His Word. And I just read in Numbers 23, it's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If He said it, He's going to do it. So what it really comes down to is us believing this thing right here, the Word of God. Do we believe this is the Word of God? I stopped struggling a long time ago trying to argue with people that don't believe this is God's Word. It's useless. No use in talking. If you believe this is God's Word, then we can talk. If you don't believe this is God's Word, we got nothing to talk about. First, you got to meet God, and then you'll know His Word. Paul goes on to say in verse 9 that he's making all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What is the mystery? It's a simple message that Christ is everything. That's the simple message. Christ is everything. It all comes down to Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's the answer. It seems like simplistic. It seems like it's overly simple, but it's not. Only the few who walked in his presence in wisdom prior to the cross ever knew this. But each one of us can know that Christ in God is everything. Only a few knew it. Everybody knows it now that's a Christian or should. All things consist because of him. There's nothing that we see, nothing that we know, nothing that we've experienced that doesn't involve Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Look in Colossians 1. Colossians 1 and verse 16. It should be to the left there in your handouts. For by him all things were created. Somebody say all things.
All things.
Well, how many are all things? Pretty simple, everything. All things that are created in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Yes, there is an invisible world. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Watch now. Through him and what? For him. This wasn't created for us. This world wasn't ours to be created just so we could be in the lap of luxury. It was created for Christ and his glory. And he, verse 17, is before all things, and in him all things consist. Christ shows up and sucks all the air out of the room. It's all about him. It's not about us. It never was. We're zero with the rim kicked off. Colossians 3 said that we died and our life is hidden in Christ. When he reappears, we'll get to appear with him. It's such a wonderful thing to know that Jesus lives in us as Christians. Years ago, I went through sales training, had about a six-week sales training, and to learn personalities and to learn how to pitch products and do that kind of thing. And it was all well and good when the classes were over. I did pretty good, graded pretty well in those classes. Then I had to go and face people on my own. I had to put what I learned into practice. How many have had to do that? Learn it in the classroom, take it from classroom to practice. Totally different thing. Say, well, you're not supposed to answer like that. My class said you're supposed to answer like that. Come on, someone. It didn't work. But with Jesus, he's in us. He speaks through us. He said, don't worry about what you'll say. I'll give you the words to speak. Come on, somebody. We've got our little secret weapon inside our heart that lives in us, Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Said that should excite you. Man, you say, well, I don't, because a lot of times what we do, because we're human, somebody turn and say, I'm human. And because we do that, we think we can handle it. Jesus, that's all right. You be quiet. I've learned now I can handle it. And we go out and talk to somebody, fall flat on our face. It doesn't work. But we let Jesus speak through us. Genius, genius. Jesus said, how am I going to do this? How am I going to build the kingdom of God with 12 teenagers, one that betrayed me? How am I going to do this with a bunch of teens? That's what he did. Disciples were a bunch of young men. He said, well, how am I going to do this? I got it. Don't leave until you receive the power from on high. He distributed himself among them, then among 3,000, then among 5,000, then among more than you can number. And on this earth, there's potentially 1 billion Jesuses. I'd say you can get the work done there. I'd like to clone myself just once or twice. See, this fellowship of the mystery was hidden. But the Word of God says, by him all things were created in heaven on earth, visible and invisible. Every realm, thrones, ruling spirits, dominions, jurisdiction for either sin or righteousness, principalities, rule because of yielding by his children. Listen, the only reason principalities have any power at all is because the church hasn't realized its power. Let me say that again. The only reason that principalities rule at all is because they've kept us in the dark that we're not powerful. We've bought the lie instead of the truth of the Word of God. We have all rule over principalities. How many believe that? We have all rule over demonic entities. How many believe that? But man, they are running the streets. They're in our lecterns in politics. They're everywhere. Because the church hasn't taken authority and said, we're not going to put up with this anymore. You got to go. All things consist because of Him. The minute that we forget that fact or fail to acknowledge it, we cede ground to the enemy. We give rule to the enemy by our lack of faith in believing what God said, where we just read that He's not a man that He should lie. If it's in the Word of God, it's true. Not only true, it's actively happening now as we release our faith towards those things. You've got a relationship problem, you've got a problem with you've got an addiction problem, you've got some problem in your life, maybe with lust. You have to acknowledge that God is able to deliver you completely from those things. All you have to do is yield. Here we erase all doubts as to the power of the church. I love verse 10. Verse 10 is one of my favorite verses in the Word of God. Listen to what it says. To the intent. Now, if you want to know what this whole thing's about, God's about ready to tell you. To this intent. That now. Somebody say now.
Now.
When's now?
Now.
Now. Now's not back then. Now's not in the future. Now's now. That now, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Intent in Webster's 1828 dictionary says, the stretching of the mind towards an object, a design or a purpose. Here is where we erase all doubt as to the reason God established His kingdom in our very midst. The defeat of Satan, my friend, is complete. He lost all at the cross. He's not being defeated. He wasn't defeated. He is defeated. Everyone who comes to the cross disappears if they truly come to the cross and is lost to the enemy. The only way we do is because we get all prideful and start trying to fight the enemy on our own. Well, I know Jesus and I'm going to fight you. No, I'm going to hide in Jesus, thank you very much. Jesus is my victor and He lives in me. It was all accomplished in Christ. All of God's promises concerning our salvation are in the past tense. Look in Romans 8:29. For whom He foreknew, past tense, He also predestined, past tense, to be conformed, past tense, to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. That's all in the past tense language on purpose. It wasn't because Paul didn't know how to write. It's in the past tense because it's true. And to the extent that we walk in that truth is the victory. It's all about what we'll believe. And the enemy comes and tells us all sorts of things that we buy. We buy the lie quicker than we buy the truth. Last week we talked about looking in the mirror. This is looking in the mirror of God, who God made you to be. He made you to be a victor. He didn't call you this thing so that you're always defeated. Come on, somebody. We think God is angry with us or God's upset with us. No, man, He's the biggest cheerleader you have. He's the biggest, if you're a Christian, he's the biggest cheerleader you have. He wants you to be victorious. All he says is stay out of the mud puddles. You're all cleaned up. You're righteous. Stay out of the mud puddles. But we find the mud puddles. And he's just and righteous to cleanse us. But he says, my intent is that you don't get dirty, that you stay clean because of who I made you to be. I'm living in you and you have a victory. Come on, somebody. I am preaching much better than you're saying amen. This is where we live, folks. And it's why Ephesians is telling us over and over and over and over and over and over and over again who we are. This is the intent. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus in 2020. Before time began. Think of that. He has called us, saved us with a holy calling, not according to our works, praise God, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Wow. What a statement. Now back to what God said. God says, I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. If I said it, I mean it. And you should be doing some shouting right now. See, you just found out what was behind that door you're opening. All the possibilities in the world are yours because of Jesus Christ. In Christ is two of the most important covenant words in the Bible is that phrase, in Christ. To understand this is to walk in victory. In Christ, we make up his body. He chose you to be part of his body. He built his body. He created. He's uncreated, but he created in us, the church, is being connected to him as our body is connected. I thank God for my little finger. See, I tell it to Ben, watch. Works pretty good, doesn't it? But when this little finger tries to run my body, I'm in big trouble. Because my little finger only sees the world as my little finger sees. I need my mind to run my body. Come on, somebody. We're part of the body of Christ. As long as he remains the head, we're going to walk in victory. Problem is, we get all that and a bag of chips. We think we can run it on our own. I got this, God. You cannot be in the body and not have connection with others. We need one another. The victory is complete in us. Only as we're complete in others. Matter of fact, we talked about it. The two greatest commandments in the Bible are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It amazes me that church has become on TV. I go to church, I watch TV. Well, next time you have a problem, call the preacher on TV, see if he'll come over and hang out. We need each other. Every part needs every other part. To do it on our own, outside of the body, is witchcraft and spiritual perversion. To do it on our own, outside of the purview of the body of Christ, is witchcraft and perversion. That we can do and command the things of God on our own. We can't do it on our own. Come on, somebody. Can't do it. We need one another. So all these things very quickly. We have redemption in Christ. What a wonderful word, in Christ. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified just as if I never sinned. Number two, eternal life in Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Free from condemnation, number three. In Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Not only that, but we're sanctified. Somebody say sanctified. Sanctified says we're set apart and we're pure. God sees us as pure. You're not hearing me today. See, the devil has talked to us to say that we're dirty and we're not worthy. We're pure because of Jesus. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. Watch what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Somebody said either you're a saint or you're an ain't. With all who are in every place, call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. What were you called to be? You were called to be saints or set apart ones. Sanctified in God. All things are new in Christ. Number 5, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new again. In Christ. In Christ, every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. What? My version says some. All spiritual blessing. What's that mean? Man, you can't make this too simple. You can't. Once your spiritual eyes are open, you should gravitate to things like that. He's blessed me with every spiritual blessing. That means I lack no good thing. If I lack it, it's because I don't want it. If I lack it, it's because I don't believe I can walk in it. If I lack it, I've got problems here, not problems here. Here I'm born again, but I got problems here. People say you need to get it from 18 inches from your brain to your heart. I always say, no, you need to get it from your heart to your brain. Because your spirit man knows it. When you see things like this and read things like this, you say, that's me. But in your head, you're going, that's not me. Every spiritual blessing. Number 7, we're together in Him. That in the dispensation, verse 10 of chapter 1 in Ephesians, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. Oh, what a day that will be. Yeah. We're all drawn together as one. Yeah. Billions and billions and billions of people. Wow. Making up the body of Christ. Woo-hoo! Magic greeting time there. You wouldn't be able to stop any. Just greet somebody beside you. 3 millennials later. Okay, it's time to gather. Seated with Him. Not only are we together, but we're seated with Him now. God, what vantage point do I have? Just sit right here and I'll give you the vantage point. Sit right here with me. I'll let you see what's going on. Raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Little rehearsal for those who've been here a few years. In Christ is imputed. It's positional. You don't have a choice. If you're a Christian, you're in Christ. It's been put it in you. You're in Christ. Say, I don't feel like I'm in Christ. Tough. Who cares how you feel? You're in Christ. That's a fact. See, the trouble is now is being in the Lord is imparted. It's if you want Him as Lord of your life. You don't have to do that. You can be in Christ and be beat up because of your unbelief. In the Lord's behavior. Every time you see the phrase in the Lord, behavior follows it in the Word of God. You cannot be in the Lord without first being in Christ. The problem that we do today is we share the mysteries of God with the unbeliever. They're not going to buy it. If you're witnessing to somebody and you're trying to talk about the mysteries of God, like sinlessness, justification, and sanctification, they're not going to buy it. Why? Because they need introduced to Jesus. All they need to know is they're a sinner saved by grace. God will save you. Once their salvation is complete, that's when we begin to talk about the mysteries. We talk about the mysteries with the unsaved world, and they go, y'all are nuts. It's because we're, you know, dead from the neck up. We need to think these things through. Come on, someone. And for us, there's two weapons that Satan uses in warfare against us. And if you don't think you're in war, better think again. The enemy assigns demons to you so you can get beat up. If he can keep you confused and beat up, you're not a threat to his kingdom anymore. Two weapons. One is accusation. Accusation is the source of guilt. It's unconscious, unrelenting guilt. It bugs you all the time. I'm not good enough. I'm not there. Somebody else could do a better job. God, you can never count on me. Or the other side of that, I'm all that in a bag of chips. I don't need anybody. I can win. I'm victorious. You are either so deceived you don't know what you're doing, or you're in bad shape. The accusation against you. The second is deception, caused to wonder or miss the way. It encourages us to act and decide out of God's will. Takes the form of inflamed desire, food, alcohol, sex, even religious experience. I could say all kinds of things about that. Just because it walks like a duck and talks like a duck does not mean it's a duck. God doesn't need to do circus side acts to get his presence. Anybody there? I mean, it's a weird thing. Pass off as being Christian. Deception runs so hard in the body of Christ now. Just read where there's an Assembly of God church, basically a full gospel church in Texas, that has now accepted alternate lifestyles and all sorts of things, ordaining alternate lifestyles into the ministry. Deception. It's running wild. As I've often said, the last decade has seen more of the church leave the truth of God to agree with the world, just so we can be accepted. May it never be. Three things that will guarantee and help us walk in victory is we need to recover our past. Let God heal all residual pain, unforgiveness, doubt, and unbelief. Let him heal it. If that's you, if you're fighting something you did in the past won't let you go, you let go of the past. If the past won't let you go, you let go of the past. You renounce it and ask God to deliver you from it and bring you into the present. The past plagues our generation. Baby boomers, you know, we get the list, you know. Hey, do you remember when we used to swing on swings and ride in the back of pickups and blah, 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 blah. Don't you wish it was like that again? No. Because it's never going to be like that again. One of the biggest sins of our nation is that we keep going circular. Time is linear. It goes straight ahead. You can't get back and you can't jump ahead. You got to live every day. Come on, somebody. I just graduated from college. I want an $80,000 a year job sitting behind a desk. Rejoice in our present. See? Present application of kingdom truths. be purposeful and effective as a citizen of the kingdom. I say, well, I want to walk in victory. Well, let it show in your house how you pay your bills, how you deal with your spouse, how you pray, how you, come on. Recognize and rejoice in our present. I don't want to hear what a Christian are. You don't pray with your spouse. You're not going to impress me. Come on, somebody. We rejoice in our present. And we recognize our future. Terry and I were talking about that yesterday. We were talking about, you know how husbands and wives, when you get older, if you're not older now, you talk about who's going to go first. Come on, somebody. I don't want you to go first. I don't want you to go first. Truth is, we're going to die. Only one way off this mud ball, it's called D-E-A-T-H. So we were talking about that. We're saying, what a reward to pass from here to heaven. I mean, check it out. You know, you get in the presence of the Lord, presence of all those good people, you know. And pretty soon you get a perfect body. 33 years old, they say. Everybody's going to be about that age. And I like 33. Thank you very much. I had red hair then, if you believe it or not. Living your life with eternity in view. God's perspective is always with a view toward eternity. This is just a waiting room for God's eternal plan for our life. I love this word, manifold wisdom. To the intent now that the manifold wisdom, or many-sided, this actually means many-colored, many-sided wisdom of God. Our calling is to reveal His wisdom. Come on, somebody. Principalities and powers, and Satan comes before him and says, God, show us your wisdom. He says, look at my church. You're asking the wrong person. Look at my church. Go ask my church. Go ask my children. God, why don't you tell us? Because I gave it to them. To the intent. Listen to me now. This is what the Word of God says. To the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known, not by God, not by the Godhead, not by the angels, not by the rain, not by the rainbows, not by signs and wonders, but by my church. Redemption, judgment, rule, authority, the outcome of this world is given to us the responsibility to show the principalities and powers. Who are they? Those are the ones that are ruling over this earth, either by evil or by good, the principalities and powers. All He knows is revealed through us. You say, that's impossible. That's not very smart. It wasn't very smart for a 30-year-old man to appoint a bunch of teenagers to go and promulgate the kingdom. You guys, settle down now. Quit kicking the soccer ball around. You got to go to the villages. Teenagers! He left His knowledge and His rule with us. Jesus shows up and says to the disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And the disciples are going, yay, all authority has been given to Jesus. Now you go, therefore. Wait a minute. I thought you said all rule and authority has been given to you. He says, yeah, it's been given to me and I'm giving it to you. You go and make disciples of all nations. Come on, someone. So the responsibility, we say, God, what are you doing? How did the earth get so bad? Why do all these evil things happen? Because you are not opening your mouth and revealing the mysteries of heaven to the principalities and powers. And they're ruling because nobody is telling them they can't. And the minute that the church takes on the responsibility and the authority that God has given, my Bible says that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. And when it's known, they run. When it's known, they stop. When it's known, they're defeated. You say, well, they should already know. Satan is a legal expert. He'll get away with what we allow him to get away with. When we stop that forward motion in the enemy, he has to stop. I'd love to tell that to Bernie Sanders. Just think it. I had a thought there. And who is our audience that we're telling? We're telling the principalities and powers. We're good at telling each other that, but we don't really need to know that information because I love God. I'm not going to do anything against Him. I'm not going to try to build my own kingdom, but the principalities and powers are, and they need to be spoken to by the church that you were defeated on the cross. The truth is that their fate has been settled in Christ. Satan, my God, defeated you on the cross. He took every sickness, infirmity, disease, and curse in His own body. And all of your weapons have been taken at the cross. You know, it's one thing to speak and educate one another. It's quite another to reveal God to the heavenly beings. You're not hearing me. See, we can preach the gospel to flesh and blood, but when we're preaching principalities and powers. And that could make you a little bit weak in the knees. But you don't need to be, because God gave you the authority. This is His intent. When we want to know a meaning of something, we look it up in the dictionary. When we want to know what God's intent was, we look it up in the Word, His intent. The main thing. The truth that Christ's death redeemed man from sin, period. There's nothing else. No way to get to heaven but through Christ. The truth that man rules on this earth, not demonic powers. You and I, as children of God, have rule over the earth. Did I hurt you or something? I mean, you okay? Everybody here? Did you hear what I just said? We have rule over the earth, not demonic powers. But to the extent that they've allowed to rule, I take a personal effrontery. I'm 7 years now in this community. And I can tell you, I'm personally offended that this is one of the number one counties in the state of Indiana for drugs. Said it may it never be. It's not going to be that way. Come on, somebody. We rule. This is our earth. Earth belongs to the children of God. Scripture says in Isaiah that heaven belongs to the Lord, the earth He gave to men. His representatives here on the earth. The truth is that redemption was complete. There's 1 billion Christs potentially on the earth. Man, if the church ever got awakened, we'd wrap this whole thing up 6 weeks. We'd all be sitting in heaven at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Yo, Mark, how you doing, man? I believe with all my heart, if the earth ever got together, the body of Christ ever got together and truly be unified across continents, it happened in a matter of hours. The truth that now we are His voice and His authority, here and now, to the intent now that the manifold wisdom, the many variegated, many sides of God's wisdom might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers. No more fallen angels are created, but thousands are daily coming to Christ. The evil angels are the evil angels. God's not creating anymore. They don't reproduce. Angels are angels. They're there. They're not going to get any more. They're not going to recruit anymore. But every day, millions are coming to Christ around the globe. Just by virtual numbers, we outnumber. But the one that defeated all of those at the cross is living in each one of us. So when we talk to the devil and say you can't have Fulton County, who's talking to the devil? Jesus. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He didn't subjugate that authority to give it to us. He speaks through us. He says, go therefore, because I'm in you. And lo, that passage, by the way, ends, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. That with you is the same Greek word as abide, which means to take residence in. Woo! Talk about a party. Verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So all of these things we've talked about today, Paul kind of puts a capstone on it by saying this. It's already accomplished. We got no reason to brag or to say, look what we did. All we're doing is saying, look what Christ already did. It's already did. Everything has been gathered together in Jesus' name. He predestined us for victory. He planned victory. In Christ was victory. There was no defeat. He made amends for the defeat. He said, if you fall, get back up. I'll clean you back up and put you right back in the race again. If you fall, if you sin, if you do this, if you turn around. And it says, in Chronicles, it says, if you'll repent, turn from your wicked ways, which is our choice, then I'll hear from heaven and heal your land. God's purpose was always that we walk in victory. And let me tell you, before Jesus returns, because everybody's still talking about, well, Jesus is coming back soon. Before Christ returns, I believe with all my heart, the body of Christ, the true body of Christ, will be walking in so much victory, people will be begging for Jesus to come get us. Please come and get the church. We can't get away with anything. Come on, somebody. That's the victory that God intends. Either that or we're wasting our time. Either that or Ephesians was written for some other time and some other place. No, Ephesians is written for you and I this moment, this time in history. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you have a purpose and a plan for us. And Lord, that your word is true and righteous altogether. Let every man be a liar, but your word be true. We thank you for it. We ask that you continue to work through us in Jesus' name. Got a couple questions for you before we go. How important is humility?
Very.
A little bit more. Very, very important. Why is it important?
Because if you're prideful, you'll fall.
Pardon me?
If you're prideful, you'll fall.
Yeah. Prideful, you fall.
You can't allow God to work in your life if you're not humble.
That's right.
God says he makes his ways known to the humble.
Yes.
There you go. Say that louder.
God says he makes his ways known to the humble.
So if I'm not humble, I don't know God's ways.
That's right.
That's a good word. How do we limit God?
You limit him by not knowing his word, not believing his word, not proclaiming his word, not saying out his word. And when you're praying for him and you don't receive it right then, you begin to doubt. That limits God.
Wow. That's good preaching. That's good preaching. How do we limit God?
We limit him by not believing in faith in God.
Yes. When we give power to the enemy, we limit God.
Yeah.
Can I just say the enemy has zero power?
That's right.
Zero. Not a little bit. He didn't have a little bit of power. He has zero power.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Well, it doesn't look that way like that in the world. Well, the world still belongs to the enemy. Those that don't know Christ are having roughshod over the enemy, but we're rescuing them out of the darkness and bringing them into the light. Once we're in the light, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? What's it mean to be made in his image?
Be like little Jesus.
He like little Jesus's.
Yes.
All power and authority is given to us.
Yeah.
When the enemy sees us, they see Jesus.
Mm-hmm. We're conformed. Amen. Yes.
Who said that? Conformed. You're conformed to the image of God. I love it. When the enemy sees us, he sees Jesus. Woo! Sometimes he looks at us, sure look like he's looking at us, don't he? We're made in the image of Christ, my friend. What happened at the cross anyway? How did this thing happen, the divine exchange at the cross? What took place at the cross of Christ?
Jesus coming. A transfer of power.
Complete?
Complete.
That happened when?
At the cross.
At the cross. So it's not progressive. No.
It's yes. Then. It happened at the cross.
Happened at the cross.
Yes.
Are you hearing that?
No.
That's good preaching. See, God said, I'll take your place, you take my place. We're seated in heavenly places, and he lives in us. Such a deal. Such a deal. We're seated in heavenly places, and Christ lives in us. The mystery that once was hidden from ages and generations, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. How do we improve our behavior?
Believing we're new creations.
Yeah.
How do we improve our behavior?
Obedience. Read the directions.
Read the directions. Obedience.
I think it's walking in relationship with Christ.
Yes.
I can't do it without him. Yes. I can't do anything without him.
Jesus said that. He said, without me, you can do some things.
Nothing.
Can't do anything without him. So why do we do it?
Physical healing, but also through the Spirit, too.
Yes, through the Spirit. How do we do it? Why do we do the things we do? Come on, somebody. If that's true, and I believe it is, am I the only one that, you know, I've often said I wish I was double-jointed so I could kick myself in the butt. Why do we do the things we do? We're so stupid sometimes. Yiddish, shadru, or shadru. We're hoopies. We're idiots without God. And we forget. Sometimes we leave God behind because we think we got it now. I'm a good trained Christian. Thank you very much. How many know you take two steps and fall flat on your face? Enemy waits until we're weak and we're under attack, and he comes to us and we buy the lie. Come into agreement with the enemy, what happens? Comes to pass. How do we speak to principalities? It says we're supposed to, but how do we speak to them? With authority. In Jesus' name. What kind of words do we put together for principalities and powers?
The word of God.
The word of God.
Right here. Mm-hmm.
You never fail.
That's right.
Good thing to do is in a flyleaf of your Bible or an insert somewhere, put all the scriptures that says about your authority in Christ. Speak the scripture to the enemy. He's a legal expert. He knows when you're speaking. If you just said, leave me alone. Satan, leave me alone. No. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. You can't have anything I own. Satan, remember, Satan says, I got that. I'm going to leave you alone. Resist the devil and he'll flee. What good news. What good news that the word of God says that his manifold wisdom is known by us. And we tell the enemy and he flees. Wow. Such a blessing. Such a blessing.
When you said resist the devil and he will flee, you need to know the first part.
Yeah. Submit to God.
Submit to God. Yes.
You can't resist.
Can't resist if you don't submit.
Amen.
That's good preaching, Gene. Thank you.
Yes.
Good stuff.
All hearts clear?